Revelation chapter 16, the seven last vials full of the wrath of God are going to be poured out upon earth. And as we read through this and study this chapter, we're going to be even more thankful that we are saved when we see all that God does in this final phase of the tribulation period. Remember, the tribulation period is a time which is just under 7 years in length. According to Jesus Christ, if it was a full 7 years, he said that time was going to be cut short. If he let it expire, if he let that time run out, he said there would be not one soul left on planet Earth. He said, but for the elect's sake, that time would be cut short. And so it's just under 7 years in time limit. And now in chapter 16, we're toward the end of that time limit. And he said in verse 16, chapter 16, verse number 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now see, none of this is symbolical. None of this is just trying to show something. This is literally going to happen. This stuff that we're reading, you can take every bit of this literally. Verse number 4, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, wast, and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. And they're praising, this angel's praising the Lord, because he's giving all the inhabitants of the earth blood to drink. And he says, you're righteous to do this, Lord. You're holy. This is the right thing to do, to give these people blood to drink. And this is the reason why. Verse number 6, for they, these people that's going to have the blood to drink, have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blaspheme the name of God which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God, because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. 21 verses of just unmitigated wrath of God upon man on earth. Now let's look at our study tonight. You'll have several pictures to go along with our study and trying to depict some of the things that are going on. When asked about the sign of his coming and the end of the world, and this is be found in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Jesus told his disciples to take heed that no man deceive them. He went on to tell them that there would be wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. He also told them that there would be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, and hatred would abound. Then the Lord told them that there was coming a time upon this world like never before. Chapter 16 of the book of Revelation describes that time in great detail. So far, we've seen a world that has been ruined by man and ruined and ruled by Satan. Now the world is going to be revenged by God. God created this world and let man have dominion over his creation to enjoy all the fruits of his blessings. But man has rejected this Creator throughout every generation in greater masses than those who have received him. Now, in our generation, man is getting bolder in this rejection, even to the point of trying to legislate God out of every facet of his life. And man wonders what is wrong. Why do we have so many devastating problems today? The simple truth to it all is found in Paul's epistle to the Romans, where he says in Romans 1, 21 through 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beast and creeping things. I've been up since 3:30 this morning, just woke up, couldn't sleep. And I went upstairs and I flipped on the TV, and there was a special on there about India. Whenever I see anything about India, I'm attracted to it because I've been over there. But this show was about the way that they worship over there in India. They're Hindus, they're polygamous, they believe in many gods, and they're so superstitious that they believe that people are reincarnated, and that when someone dies, the spirit of that person leaves and enters into, and in this one particular, temple that they were worshiping at, they believed that the spirits of their departed loved ones went into rats. And they showed all of these rats all over the place. And when they enter that temple, they have to pull their shoes off and go barefooted. No socks or no stockings, no shoes. And so they have to tramp through all the rat increments and all of that stuff that the rats and the rats, they feed the rats, they make food, and they give it to these rats, and they have water bowls, and they think that these rats are gods, and they think that if they can get some of that, they think whatever God touches, that part of that God gets into whatever that God touches. So when those rats lean over in that bowl and drink water, they think part of that God rat gets in that water. And they showed Indians going up there and dipping their hands in that rat water and drinking it, thinking that some of that God would get inside of them. They at one time knew God, but they glorified him not. Jerusalem is closer to India than it is America. At one time they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, and they were not thankful. And you see where they're at today, and you believe. When we read stuff like this, of what we've read in Revelation 16, and all that's going on, yet they will not repent, they blaspheme God. God has sent them a spirit of deception that they'll believe a lie. And those people in India and places like that, they need to be reached with the gospel, yes, but they have rejected God. And when you reject God, there's no telling what you'll believe. That void that is there from not believing in the true and living God, you'll believe anything. That's where people are at today. So this Creator God, back to our study sheet, is going to revenge them to the full for the defilement of His glory. The vials used in temple worship of the true and living God are now filled full with the wrath of God. They are about to be poured out with such vengeance that no man will be allowed in the temple until God is through with the seven last plagues. Now let's consider this voice from heaven. Number one, John hears a voice come out of the temple. Since no one is allowed into the temple, this is none other than the voice of God Himself speaking. Number two, this voice speaks directly to the seven angels who hold the seven last vials full of the wrath of God. Number three, there are some that cannot conceive that God is a God of wrath. They think Him only to be a God of love, and He is, but He is also a God of wrath. As the old saying goes, if you love flowers, you hate weeds. There are certain things that God hates. He is not a politically correct God. Even though man has concocted a God made in their own image, the true and living God is a God of great wrath. God has given us examples in the Bible of His wrath and its outcome. In Genesis 6 through 8, the account is given of the wrath of God. In Genesis 6, 5 through 7 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them." Genesis 7, 19 through 23, the Word of God says this, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, of cattle, beast, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." That's a picture of the wrath of God. Another example of the wrath of God is found again in Genesis 19. And it said, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." And Jude verse 7 says this, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Number five, God Himself describes His wrath in the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 21, 5 and 6 says this, "And I," this is God speaking, "and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast, and they shall die of a great pestilence. No wonder the Bible says in Hebrews 10:30-31, for we know that it is said, has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Number seven, so God commands the seven angels to pour out their vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Our study of this great tribulation that is to come upon all the earth began in chapter 6. Now the final judgments upon the Antichrist and his followers are about to be viewed in the holy writ of the God of the Revelation. The words of God concerning the wrath of God are about to be fulfilled. In Numbers 23, verse 19, the Word of God says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So everything we're reading in this chapter is literally going to happen one day on this earth. Now let's consider the vials of the angels. Number one, the first angel pours out his vial upon the earth, and there falls a noisome and grievous sore, is the way the Word of God describes it, upon the men which had the mark of the beast and them which had worshipped his image. The word noisome carries the meaning to render worthless or depraved. And the word grievous means wickedly harmful. Little did the ones taking the slave mark of the Antichrist realize that they were actually taking a mark that would begin to spread all over their body as a festering, painful, horrible, putrefying, and incurable cancer. They were warned that there would be no rest. Now their bodies are racked with a pain that consumes their lives day and night. Number three. The second angel pours out his vial upon the sea, and it becomes as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul dies. The blood of a dead man turns black, thickens like a gel, and has a stench. It may be that the Lord is letting us get a glimpse of what it will be like worldwide during the tribulation by the leaking oil in the Gulf of Mexico in our present day. That was back when I wrote all of this. The third angel pours out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water so that they become blood. This is the source of water that furnishes all drinking and bathing and cooking water. The angel of the waters proclaims the righteousness of God concerning this judgment. The beast and his worshipers will have their day in court. They will be found guilty, and the judgment will be the torments of bloody drink. They have shed the blood of God's people and loved every drop that was shed. Now, in a righteous act of God, they are given blood to drink for their water, and they are worthy of every drop. John now hears a voice from heaven out of the altar proclaiming the righteousness of God in his judgments. In Revelation 16:7, one may wonder, how could God be righteous to exact such judgment upon people? Only God himself knows how many times he's visited these very people and tried in mercy and grace to bring them to himself, but they would not. God lets men have what they desire. When they refuse him, the outcome is the judgment of God. Rejection of God always delivers the retribution of God. In Proverbs 1, verses 24 through 31, it says, because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've said at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The fourth angel pours out his vial upon the sun. Power is given to this angel to scorch men with fire. Even in this judgment, with people being scorched with great heat, they will not repent and they blaspheme the name of God. Can you imagine being in that much torment and still bawling your fist up at the God of heaven and blaspheming God? The fifth angel pours out his vial, and the seed of the beast in his kingdom is full of darkness, so much so to cause people to gnaw their tongues for pain. They still refuse to repent and continue to blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. Men have loved their darkness rather than the light of God, so God in his righteous way gives them darkness for their reward. These judgments are reminiscent of the plagues upon Pharaoh and his kingdom during the days of the Exodus. Waters being turned into blood, darkness over all the land were part of the judgment that Moses and Aaron brought upon the land of Egypt. God always warns before he judges. He warned Pharaoh, and he would not listen but hardened his heart against the Lord. So the Lord brought more judgments with greater severity, yet Pharaoh never would repent. The Lord has warned the world that judgment is coming, yet many will not repent. In Isaiah 60 verse 2 says this, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." In Jeremiah 13, 16, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it a gross darkness." Number 8, the sixth angel releases his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and its waters are dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The eastern kings will include China, Korea, Vietnam, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, the Philippines, and possibly Japan. The statements concerning the action of the angels show that God has given certain angels the power over the forces of nature. Earlier in Revelation, angels were seen holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. Now, in this chapter, angels have turned the sea into blood, controlled the condition of the rivers, given power over the sun, and controlled the light of the sun, and now they drop a river so that the armies of the east can trod through the pathway they have created. Angels play a very major part in the tribulation period. Number 9, now John sees an amazing sight. Three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. These spirits are devils that work miracles. And they do go to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them together to the battle of Armageddon. The word Armageddon means the mountain of slaughter. Armageddon is also known in Scripture as Megiddo. Megiddo was known in the Bible for a place of battle and death. In 2 Kings 9:27 it says, "And he fled to Megiddo and died there." 2 Kings 23:29, "And King Josiah went against him and he slew him at Megiddo." 2 Chronicles 35:22, "And came to fight in the valley of Megiddo." That valley, they say that Napoleon visited that valley one time. Said he looked out over that plain, that great valley, and looked at it. He said, "This would be the greatest place on planet Earth to have a battle." And that's where the final battle is going to be fought, in the plain of Megiddo. The final battle at the return of Jesus Christ will be fought at this site. All the worshipers of the Antichrist, groping in darkness and pain with the heat of the sun and hideous boils of their flesh, will make their way to this one place on planet Earth, gathered through the deception of the miracle-working devils, not to fight with each other, but to fight against the God that they have been blaspheming. They await their final attempt to outflank and outfight the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They know that they're going to battle against God, and they're still going to gather to battle against Him. The seventh angel pours out. You know they've got to be satanic led, because Satan thinks he can whoop God, and he still fights against God. The seventh angel pours out his vial into the air, and a great voice from the temple of heaven declares, "It is done." John Phillips, exploring Revelation, says it like this. He said, "The time has come for the fighting of that final war of the age, the name of which has become a byword among men since John first wrote it down, Armageddon. The Holy Land has been chosen by God as the stage upon which two crucial events take place, one on a mountain, one on a plain. Mount Calvary and the plain of Megiddo are the two altars of sacrifice that dominate the history of the world. On Mount Calvary, grace redeemed the world by the sacrifice of God's Son. On the plains of Megiddo, vengeance offers up the armies of the world in a sacrifice of doom. Both are bloodbaths. Both are the descendant of wrath upon sin. Both are brought about by God's bitterest foes who work out, despite themselves, God's perfect and sovereign will. From each proceeds a supper, one a feast of remembrance for the people of God, and the other a feast of retribution for the carrion. At Calvary, there rang up to the gates of heaven a victorious cry, 'It is finished.' And at Armageddon, there rings down to earth an answering cry from the temple gates in glory, 'It is done.'" Now the violent end. John now sees and hears thunders, lightnings, and voices, and a great earthquake that shake the entire earth. Not just a localized earthquake now, but the entire earth is going to feel this earthquake. In Isaiah 24, verse 19 and 20, the Word of God describes it like this. "The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. It shall fall and not rise again." Can you imagine being on this earth and the entire earth starts swinging out there in space violently like a drunk person? And you're on the earth at that time. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. The great city Babylon is divided into three parts during the earthquake to await her final doom, which will be viewed in chapter 17, 18 in detail. All the cities are destroyed. Every island is gone, and not one mountain can be found. The entire earth will reap the vengeance of the Lord in that day. Complete devastation and destruction will be the outcome. Then God begins to rain upon the ones gathered at the Valley of Megiddo, a hailstorm, with each stone weighing between 100 to 125 pounds each. This hailstorm is appropriate for the blasphemers, because blasphemers in the Old Testament were to be stoned to death. God himself will be the one hurling the stones. In Leviticus 24:16, under the law it said, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." The earthquake, the hail, and then the return of Jesus Christ ready for battle all make for a scene completely unimaginable. But it is going to happen just like the Word of God has revealed to all. Not one jot or tittle will be left unturned. It's going to happen just like we just read in Revelation 16. That's what amazes me about this book. We read the book of Revelation and read these words, and these are not just things that are part of a fairy tale. They're things that are literally going to happen on this earth. We need to be telling them about Jesus Christ. Because if they're not saved and go into this awful time, they'll see some of this, if not all of it. You realize that if Jesus came tonight, that a young person in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s could live the entire tribulation 7 years. Isn't that something? Is anybody in here glad you're saved? Whew, amen. Father, we want to thank you tonight.